Wendy Snyder sitting in for Bob Surratt today. He will be back on Monday. And let's go live to Ukraine and check in with Joseph Lindsley. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Wendy, always great to speak with you. And hello from Lviv. Beautiful day here. Still frequent power outages here and throughout the country due to the Russian attacks on infrastructure. And I hope you and everyone there had a great 4th of July yesterday. And, you know, here yesterday, it was obvious to me, as it is so often, but just how much appreciation there is for America throughout Ukraine. I mean, really, this has to be the most pro-American country in the world, and maybe even more so than the United States. You'll never see a protest here against the U.S. in any way, and such a great respect for people, for all kinds of Americans, regardless of party. And I saw yesterday I was at a meeting in the center of Lviv, perfect weather, not too hot, and a sunny afternoon sitting outside on the car-free cobbled streets. And during the meeting, the staff of the it was a Galician Jewish restaurant, Jewish style restaurant here in Lviv, and the staff came up to our table, and knowing that I'm American, brought all this free food, and they said, "We just wanted to say thank you as an American for being here." And they even put turkey on the platter because they said, "We think you eat turkey on holidays." So just this profound appreciation in small ways. And you know, I think as I hear, you know, Americans talking about some Americans, even, you know, high level people, Bill Maher and Russell Brand, I saw in a recent interview, or like presidential candidate Trump, you know, saying that, you know, the first, you know, the most important thing is negotiations and too many people are dying. None of those people have spent a moment here, and they don't realize that Ukrainians do not want to negotiate. They did that for 8 years, from 2014 to 2022. There were many negotiations after Russia occupied the Crimean Peninsula. And what that did is it gave Russia time to prepare for this. And after 2 years of, genocide in many parts of Ukraine, of ballistic missiles falling around their heads, and even now, as you see it, where, you know, people often don't have running water or power for many hours a day because Russia's trying to destroy them. As tired as they are, they don't want to negotiate at all. And so anyone who says that, you know, who thinks that they're acting sort of in a merciful way by saying, "Oh, the poor Ukrainians, don't need weapons; they need negotiations," does not understand the spirit of this country and a spirit that I was really reminded of yesterday.
It's funny too that food is offered. You know, it's like that is the universal language of love, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially, you know, this idea, it is around the world, and Ukrainians especially stay close to that tradition of hospitality, and it's another thing that I've been examining recently as we look at, I mean, for example, today, Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, is in Moscow, which is sort of astounding, because Hungary is a NATO nation, and so going there to meet the enemy of the West has a lot of Europeans upset. Hungary has the six-month presidency of the European Union right now. So it has a lot of people upset. But I, thinking about this and the contrast between the two cultures, I mean, you know, Ukrainians have, I mean, you know, Russia, because of the Bolshevik Revolution and the legacy of communism, so many of the traditions there were destroyed during the 20th century. And even for different peoples who live within Russia, like the Chechen people, in the 1990s, the Chechen people, mainly Muslim, they tried to get their freedom. And Russia, sort of deleted all of the freedom fighters in Chechnya. And now they use the Chechens to carry out some of the most evil tasks of Russia. They use the Chechens as their warriors. And Ukrainians warn that, you know, if Ukraine is subsumed into Russia, you know, they'll kill all of the independent, you know, freedom-loving people. And then, as they've done with, you know, other empire, other peoples within Russia, they'll use those people to go to war with the world. And this was a conversation we had yesterday here too, but how Ukrainians, you know, fought, you know, had to fight for the Soviet Union. And that's what they don't want to be part of that at all. And you know, during the Soviet times, Ukrainians did such a great job of maintaining their traditions, whether it was with the food or their music and their religion. And I think there's two examples that show just how different these people are. I probably we've mentioned this before, but the word for crime in the Ukrainian language, in the Russian language, is prestoplania, which means literally stepping over a line. So if you cross a line, you've committed a crime. And for Ukrainians cross lines all the time. They don't care about rules very much. They're kind of libertarian in that sense. But so for Ukrainian, the word for crime is zlochin, which means evil doing. So the worst thing, like a crime for the Ukrainian, is to do evil. You can break some rules and all that, but you don't do evil. For the Russians, the definition of crime is simply whatever line the government has drawn for you. And so these are two totally different mindsets. And we see that also in the word for victory. These days now in the war, when Ukrainians toast each other, they will toast two victories, za peremohu. And in Ukrainian, the word peremoha means, if you break it down, it means over your ability, over your possibility. So like something like doing the impossible, exceeding your limitations. And the Russian word, Wendy, for victory is pobeda, which means after the miserable stuff. So you have two different, two totally different worldviews. And I think that's part of the reason why we see this clash. And this is why, you know, Ukrainians don't want, they see the world in a different way, and they don't want to lose that. And that's part of what this fight's about.
And we are getting reports here. AP is reporting that Ukraine military has retreated from a neighborhood. What do you have on that information?
In Donbass, the Russians have been, Donbass is in eastern Ukraine, and the Russians have been making steady progress these past weeks, really. And they're working to cut off a supply route, a key supply route. So it's very difficult and intense there. That's why Ukraine has had to increase conscription. And I think it's going to be in those respects, in that area, it's going to be a difficult summer. So while it's extremely difficult there in Donbass, it's important to note that in the north, so a little bit north of there, in the Kharkiv region, the Russians are stuck. They did make progress in incursion. In May, and that sort of dominated the headlines. But now the Russians, they haven't moved forward at all. Even I saw an interview with Tucker Carlson and Eric Prince, who was like a top American military contractor and mercenary, and just absolutely incorrect information. I mean, I'm not talking about, so yeah, it's very difficult in Donbass, but not talking about how Ukrainians, once America gave them permission to use American weapons to hit back on Russian soil, Ukrainians have turned that situation around in Kharkiv, and that's a huge thing that doesn't get talked about. So, yeah, extremely difficult in Donbass, and territories being lost very little by little. And, I mean, for example, there's this a city of Volodar, which means city of coal, and place that gives you coal is the name of it. And the Russians have been trying, I mean, and they're making progress, but they've been, knocking at the door of this tiny little city for years now, really. And as difficult as that is, it's good to put it in perspective, keeping in mind that this is the same Russia that thought they could take Kyiv in 3 days, and now they're dealing with very small places in far eastern Ukraine.
UkrainianFreedomNews.com. I'm on the website now. I do not know the update on the new website. Do you have that? Is it up and running?
Still
yet?
In progress.
Okay, well, it's fine.
Wendy, one difficult thing is, with a lot of our team, is the power situation.
Yeah.
And so we just ordered a new round of power banks to keep people supplied. But because, almost everyone on our team is a volunteer, but they also have to, they tried to do outsourcing and business around the world. And it's amazing they can keep this going, but it's tough. I mean, this morning I went to get coffee in the center of Lviv, and you see all the shops and cafes opening, and the first thing you do to open, you get the generator, you pull it outside, you start to hear the hum of the generators everywhere. That's the daily reality now because of the how Russia's been able to attack the infrastructure.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss the news because I hadn't talked to you in a while. So you will keep us posted. This is Joseph Lindsley. I look forward to hearing you every morning, making sure you're safe, and please continue to stay safe. Bob will be back Monday to speak to you.
Wendy, great, and I look forward to our next conversation as well.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to support the effort, Accelerate Victory, you can go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com.